So now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, once again, we're going to read this little short text. I hope that by the end of this series, you may even have these fruits of the Spirit memorized so that you can pray them for your own life and grow in them. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 says this: "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. As Brandon has already led us in prayer to thank you for, I pray now that you would take it and you would send the Holy Spirit, use your word to open our eyes, to strengthen our lives in Christ, that you would conform us to his image. Lord, this morning, all across this room and all around the world, Lord, people are longing for peace. And I pray that as your people, that we would enjoy peace, not as the world even can enjoy it. Lord, you've given us a privilege that's far beyond the world's reach. You've given us the gift of your peace. Help us first to understand what it is and then how to increase it in our lives by the help of your Spirit. Teach us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, for 75 years or so, maybe longer, musicians, songwriters have been passionately writing and singing anti-war songs, pleading for peace. Maybe you can even think of them. Think of some of the songs from the 60s and 70s in particular, even into the 80s during the Cold War. People have been writing about peace. Every Christmas time, when we hear the words "peace on earth," and we hear them either sung in a Christmas carol or we hear them repeated at a Christmas service, and we wonder if peace will ever come. We long for peace so deeply that in the world there's a never-ending stream of motivational speakers and self-help books selling the 10 easy steps to inner peace. There's no end to that. Just remember the old brick-and-mortar bookstores? Go to Amazon and just search these things. And personal trainers and spiritual gurus have created a thriving market promising peace through things like yoga and yoga classes and quiet meditation retreats. And we long for peace so deeply, people will pay big, big bucks to try to get some. I mean, you look at the latest rash of celebrity suicides, and the world asks, why? Why? They had it all. They had tons of money, and they had adoring fans, and they had fame, and they had everything they ever wanted, but they didn't have peace. And we see that, for example, and then we look at the crazy, depressing mess the world is in, and then we look at our own messed up lives, and it can make us think there's no hope. And we can be so discouraged that we just want to give up. But if you want peace, I want to tell you that you can have it. You just have to know where to get it. Here's the thing. The kind of peace we all long for, deep, lasting peace, it can't be bought and it can't be sold. Because the peace we crave is very, very expensive. But you can get it for free. And think about it. Peace is a gift. That's what you need to understand, is that peace is a gift. And it was a gift that was purchased by the very, very expensive, blood-soaked death of Jesus Christ. On a Roman cross, get the picture in your mind if you can, on a Roman cross, the Prince of Peace lost his life to achieve peace for us. And he gave up his life. He died voluntarily to gain peace on earth, in us. You see, understand that his self-sacrificial death was actually an act of war. What looked like his defeat on the cross, hanging there by nails, being nailed to the wood, what looked like his defeat was actually a very decisive victory. A victory won by Jesus. When he was nailed to the cross, it looked like he was being defeated. Absolutely, that's the way it looked on the outside. But actually, by his death, he was canceling out all the reasons that God was at war with us. So it was an act of war. It was an act of peace. What were those reasons that God was at war with us? Well, they were our sins, right? Those reasons are our sins. Our sins pitted us against God fundamentally, deeply, radically so, and God's justice demanded that our sins be paid for. And Jesus paid for them with his life. And now it's possible, because of what he did, and only because of what he did, now it's possible to have peace with God, and it's possible to have peace within. Okay? And that's the first thing I want to show you on the screen, is that there are two kinds of peace. Two kinds of peace. You know, the Bible talks about having peace, and it talks about it in two different ways. It talks about having peace with God, and it talks about having peace within. Having peace with God is a fact, and having peace within is a feeling. So let's take those separately. First of all, peace with God. Here is the text that you need to listen very carefully to. This is very orienting. It's Romans 5:1, where Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God is the peace that ends the war. See, before we believe on Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we are at odds with God. Understand this. Remember this. We're at odds with God. We're at war with God because of our sins. And our sins tremendously offend God, tremendously offend him. And whenever we sin, it strikes a fire in God. His wrath burns against us for what we've done. And so we start a war. We have started the war. God didn't start it. We started it. And the only way that the war can end is that somebody's got to die. And God is, in his incredible mercy, sent his own son to die for us. I mean, the king on the other side of the war sent his own son, the prince, to die for his enemies. And by the death of Jesus, God's terms of peace have been met. And that's why it's so important to trust in the death of Jesus for you. Because by faith in what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, you can have peace with God. So by faith in the death of Jesus Christ, the war we're at with God is now over. And that's really good news if you're a Christian. If you've been justified by faith, the war that you were in against God is now over. And that is an objective fact. That peace is an objective fact. That peace is not a peaceful, easy feeling, as the Eagles sang about. No. That peace is an end to fighting. It's an objective fact. It's reconciliation with God. Peace with God is the peace that ends the war. And when you have peace with God, then you can have peace within. And that's the second thing I want you to see, is peace within. And so let's drill down into this now today for a little bit. Where does true peace come from? Are there 10 easy steps? Can you buy it? Can you just sing your way into it? No, true peace within, it comes from knowing you're right with God. Peace within comes from knowing you are right with God. Knowing that you're not at war with God will help you have peace within. knowing that you've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, in Luke chapter 7, there's a really beautiful story. It's a story about a woman with a box. And she comes into the house of a Pharisee where Jesus is about to eat dinner. And she brings this box in, and this box is made out of a substance called alabaster. It's a stone. And she breaks this box open, and on the inside is an ointment. And she breaks this box open, and she pours the ointment on Jesus' feet. And listen, she has been a terrible woman. I mean, she has done lots and lots of sins, and they've been publicly known, what she's known for. Everybody knows that she's a terrible woman. But here she is, she's breaking the box open, she's pouring out the ointment, and she's weeping. And she's kissing Jesus' feet. And her tears are getting on Jesus' feet. And she's taking her hair and wiping the tears with her hair. And there are some people who are standing around who are shocked that Jesus is letting this kind of woman anywhere near him. And he says to this woman, he says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And those are some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And that story has actually both kinds of peace that I'm talking to you about this morning. It has peace with God, where Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And it has peace within when he says, "Go in peace." See, when you know that your sins are forgiven, when you know that you are no longer God's enemy, and that the war is over, and that you've been reconciled to God because of Jesus, when you know that your name has been written in heaven, then your heart can relax. And you can feel peace within. Peace within is a result of peace with God. Now, just before Jesus died, he told his disciples that he was going away. And Tommy mentioned it a minute ago. And they were confused. And they were bothered by this. And they didn't quite get it. And so he said, "I'm going away. But in my place, as when I go away, in my place, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to be your comforter." And then he said this in John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," think about that, "my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to give us his peace, so that we won't be troubled, so that we be delivered from our anxiety and from our fear and from our worry and from our doubt. Delivered. And so peace within is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in this way. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely something we manufacture, not something we try to do in 10 easy steps, as it were, but peace is something we receive from the Holy Spirit. And though it's once we received his grace and peace with God, we can increase peace within with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so now number two, let me give you some ways you can increase your peace. But remember, you got to begin with peace that comes from God. Peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with him. How to increase your peace. Some practical ways to increase the peace within. Now, and there's a lot of overlap between them. And I could give you many, many things to think about. But these are the ones I think that rise to the top that I want to share with you today. The first one is this. Maintain a clear conscience by confessing and turning from your sin quickly. Maintain a clear conscience by confessing and turning from your sin quickly. Remember, sin destroys the peace within. Sin destroys the peace within. Sin destroys your peace because sin troubles your conscience. See, God made us with a conscience. And when we do something wrong, the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with our conscience to set off an alarm in our minds, to set up an alarm system that goes off inside of us. We call that in the church, we call that feeling convicted. I feel conviction for my sin. I feel convicted for what I've done. That's one of the ways. Or sometimes we say, well, I feel guilty. It's the same idea. It's a feeling of guilt. That's that alarm system. Because what's happening is that when we sin, the Holy Spirit is grieved by what we do, and He in turn makes us feel grieved because of what we do. Sin disturbs the peace. And the only way to get it back is to get right with the Lord by confessing our sin and turning from it as fast as we can. Making it right. Sin destroys the peace within, but confession and repentance will restore it again. So if you want to keep your peace, if you want to keep your peace, resist temptation. Avoid sin. And keep a clear conscience. The minute you sin again, you grieve the Holy Spirit, the one who gives us peace. And your heart will not rest until your conscience is clear. It will not. The Holy Spirit will give you peace, listen, when your life is clean. The Holy Spirit will give you peace when your life is clean. Secondly, make every effort to repair your relationships. Make every effort to repair your relationships. In other words, be at peace with other people. Be a peacemaker. I told you when we began this series on the fruit of the Spirit that if you'll notice, every one of them have to do with how to endure and how to be godly in the midst of very difficult relationships. Think about all the fruit of the Spirit. We need love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We need all of that to make our relationships work well. That we need all of those things when relationships are difficult. And we need peace for that as well. We need to be peacemakers. So whenever there's a rift in your relationship with someone, when there's something wrong that needs to be fixed, when someone has something against you, listen, that will rob you of peace within. And you have to try to make it right if you want to have peace within. You have to try to make it right. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Live peaceably. Jesus preceded those words with his own in Matthew 5, where he said, if you're offering your gift at the altar in the worship service, and you there remember that your brother has something against you or a sister, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift in worship. So you can't really worship the Lord if you need to be reconciled to your friend or to your family. That's an appropriate thing to think about even as we come today to take the Lord's Supper together. If there's not peace in our relationships, then there won't be peace within. If I can't have peace within me, I can't have peace within me when there's not peace between you and me. Does that make sense? So what do you do? Well, there are two things you can do. At least. One is that if they've done you wrong, forgive them. Forgive them. Holding our own unforgiveness is a sin that ruins our own peace. Unforgiveness can become bitterness, vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not yours, it's mine. I'll deal with it. You and I, on the other hand, have to forgive. Holding unforgiveness in our hearts is a sin. It's a sin that ruins our peace, and it keeps us a prisoner of our own inner turmoil. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen, not giving forgiveness ruins our own peace. And on top of that, God says you won't have His forgiveness either, and that'll ruin your peace. So a heart of peace will want to make peace, not extend the war. See, so forgive them. Now, the other thing you can do is, if it's the other way around, if you've done them wrong, seek forgiveness from them. You can't legitimately feel peace within if you're at war with someone. So make every effort to make things right. Make things right. And it'll take a massive step of humility to do that. You have to humble yourself and actually apologize and ask for forgiveness and offer to make restitution. What would it take? What would it ask them? What would it take to make things right? That's a great question. What would it take to make things right? Listen, we can't have peace within until we try to make peace with them. Now, if all you can do is all you can do, which it is, right? I mean, if all you can do is try to make peace, if the other person won't let there be peace in your relationship, if they will not let things be at peace, then I want to tell you, you can then be at peace because you've done all you can. Does that make sense? He says, do as much as lies within you, as much as is possible, as much as you can, be at peace with all men. So you make the effort. And if you make the effort, even if they don't reciprocate, you can be at peace, that your conscience is clear, that you've tried to make it right. That's all God requires, is for you to desire peace with the other person and to make every effort to restore peace with them. You're not responsible for them, though. You're not responsible for their heart. They are. You're only responsible for yourself before the Lord. So I want to set you free a little bit here to think that you can't have peace if you've done everything you can and they're still sinning and they're still persisting and they're still staying at war, or they're still staying divided. If you've done all you can, then you can be at peace. Because when you've done all you can, your conscience can be clear. Now, what is another way to increase your peace? And it's this. Next is talk to God about your problems. Talk to God about your problems. Tell Him about your fears. Tell Him about your anxieties. Talk to God honestly about it. Sometimes I think when we come to pray, we just want to speak to God in very lofty language. These and thous. We keep things vague and abstract. We think, oh, God already knows. He already knows what's going on. He knows my thoughts. He knows the situation. I'm just going to say, Lord, just fix it. Just intervene. But we need to talk to God in detail about our problems. We need to tell Him in detail about our anxieties and sorrows and sadnesses and give Him our requests. I mean, that's what David does in the Psalms. He gets into detail. If you read the Psalms, the example we have in the Bible is that when you pour your heart out before the Lord, you tell God everything you're facing. That's what David does. He tells God everything he's facing, and he tells God everything he's feeling. He doesn't just say, well, I know God's omniscient. He already knows all that. I don't need to burn up time in prayer for that. No. In Scripture, even Jesus is wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not my will. Lord, if there's any other way. He's pleading. And David in the Psalms, he tells God what he's facing, who he's facing, what they've done to him, what he is feeling about it, everything he's thinking, everything that's going through his mind. And no, not all of it is good and godly, spiritual sounding stuff, but it's in the Bible as an example to show you it was very human. And he's telling God also everything he's wanting God to do. He tells God everything he's thinking, everything he's feeling, everything he's going through, and everything he wants God to do for him. He just lays it all out before God. It just reminds me of King Hezekiah when the messenger from the king of Babylon came and was harassing the people on the walls of Jerusalem, saying, You're going down. Your God's not going to protect you. Don't put any trust in your God. Don't listen to your king. And he'd even written a letter, and King Hezekiah went and laid it before the Lord and said, "Lord, look, read this. What do we do?" He just lays it all out to God. That's what Paul says to do, actually, in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a picture of guarding. Even Tommy in his prayer this morning was talking about how these things come at us, at our hearts and our minds, like missiles to destroy our peace. And God says, I'll guard your mind. You'll tell me everything on your mind. I'll guard your mind. Tell God everything. Everything. Folks, that's how you lay your burdens down to the Lord. That's how you get them off your chest. As 1 Peter 5 says, casting your anxieties, all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. All your anxieties. Folks, we carry so many worries. We feel so many anxieties. We suffer under so much sadness, and they rob so much peace from us. We were never meant to carry all that alone, apart from God. You know how it is? You know, just sometimes just talking to someone about your problems makes you feel better. You ever had, you experienced this? Just having somebody to talk to and get it off your mind and get it off your chest usually helps you feel better. You feel relieved. Well, listen, so talk to someone who actually has the power to make things better in your life and has more love for you than you could ever imagine. Someone you can trust implicitly with everything in your heart and everything in your thoughts. Talk to the Lord himself. Talk to him in prayer. Tell him all about your troubles because he cares for you. And he cares that you have the peace he promised you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to enjoy it. And he wants you to talk to him about what's upsetting you. And when you do, he says he'll guard your mind with this peace. You know, along these lines, part of being able to do this very successfully, of laying our burdens down and telling the Lord, is this next thing that'll help us increase our peace. And that is to know that God is in control. This is a huge part of having peace. This is the key to having lasting peace, actually. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this. I want you to remember this. I remember this from my high school days. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so if you want to have perfect peace, you have to be able to trust in God. And to be able to trust in God, you know, you have to have a high view of God. To be able to trust him, you have to think that he's sovereign. Listen, if your God isn't sovereign over everything, it will be impossible to have peace. Because if God's not sovereign, neither you nor he knows what's going to happen. But God is sovereign. He does know what's going to happen. In fact, he's the one that's going to make things happen. He's the one who makes whatever happens to happen. And he said that to those who know him, he is making all things work together for good to those who know him. God is in control. Now, it may seem like the world is spinning out of control. It may seem like everything in your life is spinning out of control, but it's not. It may feel that way, and your emotions may be spiraling. But God says this in the Psalms. He says these powerful, calming words, "Be still and know that I'm God." Listen, when peace is the problem, Sovereignty is the solution. I mean, trusting God's sovereignty increases our peace. And this is why we pray, brothers, sisters, this is why we pray, because God is sovereign. Because God can do anything. He can do the things we can't do. That's why we pray. We're asking Him to intervene and do things that no person can do. God is sovereign, and therefore we pray to Him and we trust in Him. And there's something that goes with that, that God is sovereign. And not only knowing that God is sovereign, but last year is know that God loves you. John Calvin said, the key to happiness in life is to know that you are loved by God. The key to happiness in life is to know that you are loved by God. That's the key to peace. That your heart can be at rest when you know you're loved by God unconditionally. My life may be a mess. My sorrows may be even growing and increasing because troubles just keep coming at me from every direction. But if in the middle of all that storm, if I can have the assurance that God loves me, then I can be okay. The Puritans have said that if you don't understand the Bible's teaching of justification, then every trial is a double trial. What that means is that if you don't understand that you are accepted by God by grace alone, then every trial that comes along will make you ask the question, why does God hate me? If you don't know that God loves you, you'll be afraid of what He does to you. You'll be afraid of what He will do to you if you don't know that He loves you. But if you understand that God loves you unconditionally and He loves you unbreakably, you won't be afraid. And you can have peace within, no matter what storm you're in. And remember this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's a redundant sentence. You ever notice that? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's just this doubling idea up of an idea here. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so when your peace is gone and you can't feel His love, then you need to look in two directions. When your peace is gone and you can't feel His love for you, look in two directions. Look, first of all, back to the cross and see Him there. The one who loves you and dies for you. And as you look back upon the cross, remember that the war is ended. When you can't feel that God loves you, look at the cross and remember that He died for you and that the war is ended and that you and God are at peace. There's no war between you and God. And then the other direction I want you to look is I want you to look ahead to the day when you will see the one you love face to face. Look ahead and remember that we are going to a place of absolute, perfect, undisturbed peace. And that is a reason for us to have peace within us even right now. That God is in control and that His Son, the Prince of Peace, will one day rule in peaceful dominion from one end of the universe to the other. This will happen. This will come. Everything will be under His feet. And there will be no more enemies, and there will be no more attacks upon our minds, upon our lives, or on our relationships, and there will be no more violence in the world, and there will be no more fears in our hearts, and no more tears in our eyes, and no more sorrow that we feel, and no more pain. All will be peace, and all will be prosperity, don't you know? And all will be joy, and all will be rest. And having that hope, it helps us calm down. It helps us calm down. So having peace with God is what gives us peace within forever. And may the Holy Spirit help us to use these tools to increase our peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. Once Jesus was ascended, you sent the Spirit to be our teacher and more than that, even our comforter. Well, that's the word today that's so sweet to us. Holy Spirit, be our comforter. Would you breathe and speak peace within the hearts and minds of your people this morning? Lord, help us to run to you and to tell you our anxieties and to talk to you about our fears and to trust that you are sovereign and that you love us. Help us believe that. Because, Lord, all the troubles we feel are working totally against us, believing you're in control and resting in your care. Or within, sometimes it feels like a storm or a war or a black hole. And I pray this morning that you would guard the minds of your people, that you would give fresh peace within the heart of your bride, your church. Father, help us to live in these tumultuous days as a people very different from the world. Help even people to see that even though we go through trials, that we walk through them differently than the rest of the world. Give us the peace that passes understanding and that enables us to endure whatever you've assigned us to endure. And so, Father, as we've heard your word today, would you strengthen us in peace? And as we now see your word declared in the Lord's Supper, the good news of peace on earth, would you help us to believe and to receive the peace we need? In Jesus' name I ask, amen.